And it is bonus pod time for Fat to Fit or Else. I am the Stretch Aubrey. What is happening? Time to get into... I have fitness news. I have some more fitness news I want to get to, but I also have some rantings and some ravings and some observations from life. Like this story that I saw on my way home from work. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but police don't give an F anymore about illegal vehicles on the road. And I'm talking back in the 80s when I was in high school. I remember we were really into dirt bikes. We all had dirt bikes and ATVs, my friends and all of us, and we would all go camping and ride our off-road bikes out in the desert, and it was fun times. But we would always come home, and then we would wash them, and then once you washed it, you would take it down the street for a spin. And I remember being with my friend Phil, and he took his brother's bike, washed it, and then took it down the street, and the Downey police pulled him over and took the bike and impounded it. And they were very anti anything not registered on the road, being driven on a public roadway. And now this didn't happen in Downey, but I have seen in Palisades before it burned to the ground, packs and packs, like 100 people on dirt bikes and ATVs just rolling down Sunset Boulevard. And I'm like, where are the police? What is happening? This is insane. And they didn't stop for lights, and they were going up on curbs and doing wheelies and all kinds of crap. And the cops just apparently gave no fucks. That's the LAPD area over there. But this one, I'm driving, pull out, I make a left turn, and I see coming on the other side of the road what looks to be a, 14-year-old boy, 13, 14-year-old boy with no helmet on, riding one of those mini bikes that has no muffler on it, so it's loud as hell, and he's riding with cars, so he's going at least 35 miles an hour, and he's just blasting down the road. Well, two cars in front of me is LA County Sheriff, and there's two officers inside, and they just look, don't bat an eye, don't even attempt to make a U-turn and stop the kid. They just, oh, whatever, and they just keep rolling, and this thing is completely illegal, not to mention the kid's riding it without a helmet, and the kid's clearly a minor and doesn't have a license. There were all kinds of issues, and they didn't do jack shit yet. So I'm like, what are these guys going to do? They're not going to do anything. Oh my God. And then we keep driving. And then suddenly, as we're driving about less than a quarter mile down the street, that cop car slams on its brakes. And I'm like, maybe they made up their mind and they're going to go back and chase that kid. No, there was a stray dog about to come in the street, and they literally turned on their lights, pulled over. I was happy to see them try to aid the stray dog, but I was really, really surprised that they did absolutely nothing about that kid riding that bike down the middle of the street, especially with no helmet on and being a minor. Nothing. Didn't even. They looked at him and just kept going. Like, F that. It's not our responsibility. We're having a weird issue with the police right now at work, which I will report on later because I have an update after today. But they are annoying, and I really wish the police would get back to doing police shit. And I realize the whole world changed in 2020 after George Floyd, and everybody hated the police and all these cities, especially here in dumbass cities like California, Los Angeles areas. They are like, let's defund the police, let's kill the police, let's cut the police. The police stopped doing their job, and it hasn't been the same since. It has not been the same since. And they literally don't want to stop anyone. Also, during COVID, they didn't want to pull anyone over, and people started driving like complete maniacs. And if you notice, that's still going on, too. They are writing tickets nowadays and have been for a while, but it doesn't seem they're pulling you over. And you ever look in at a car in front of you with a tags that have been expired for 3 years? They're not policing anymore. They're just letting people go because they don't want to be accused of being racist or stopping someone for no reason or risk having to arrest someone because there's a clear violation. I don't know what it is, but I really wish the police would get back to being the effing police. And that was surprising to see that. Now, speaking of a person who does police, that's me. I will drop the hammer on people, and I am not the police, but I will do policing. Funny story happened. I've mentioned I live here with my parents now, which is lovely when you are over 50 years old, living at home in your childhood bedroom. Just lovely. And your parents are old and deaf. Here's a funny one before I sidetrack myself completely. Both of my parents, I've yelled at them. I've said something to them and they go, "What?" And I say it again. And they go, "What?" And I say it again. And they go, "What?" So I yell it. And then they'll, and this has happened with both of them. "You don't have to yell at me." And I'm like, "Well, you're effing deaf. You can't hear a word I say. I have hearing aids. Then why aren't you wearing them?" Both of them have said this to me. "Well, I don't like wearing them." I'm like, "Well, then I'm going to have to yell at you because you can't hear shit. So stop." Serious. This has happened with both of my parents since I've been here. My dad is one grumpy old codge. I thought I was a grumpy old codge. And I live with the king of grumpy old codges right now. My God, poor Ice has to stay home and deal with him. Ugh, poor Icy Burger. But here's a funny story, speaking of Icy Burger, which I will tell you. I live in Downey. I grew up in Downey. And Downey is, when I was a kid, was a little more, probably 60% Caucasians like myself and probably 40% Hispanic. And I would say of the Hispanics in Downey at that point, 98% of those 40% Hispanics were Mexicans. And most everyone I knew as a kid, went to school with, friends and stuff, were all Mexicans. And one thing you know, and then I had a job over here and I worked, and everyone I worked with at the job I worked at this electronics company was Mexican. I was the only white guy there. Well, when you work in situations like that and you know people who are Mexican, you learn to say swear words because, let's face it, I live with a South American and she speaks fluent Spanish, but I do not. I speak words. I can order the hell out of some food and I can curse you out. But I notice my South American wife doesn't know the curse words I know because she's South American. And these apparently are the ones that I know are mostly Mexican slang, they call them. So know that. And I'm in Downey where a lot of Mexicans live. Well, I'm walking my dog and I go down a street near my parents' house and a guy comes out. It's nighttime and he is wearing a poncho and really dark sunglasses and it's nighttime and he's walking with his wife and I immediately can tell this dude coming at me is drunk and it's 7-8 o'clock because it's, well, it's dark, so it's closer to 8 o'clock and he's staggering and he's walking with his wife and I remember I speak Spanish, swear words, and food, and can say some words I can't speak Spanish. But I hear something that perks my ears up when he says, "Pinche güero," so I look, the only güero around, which is a white boy, is me. So this guy's talking shit about me, and he's doing it in Spanish, like I don't know what the fuck he's saying. To which I reply, "Chinga tu madre, pinche puto," which is very not nice thing to say to a Hispanic person or any person. But his jaw hits the floor and his wife, I'm guessing, starts laughing. She's laughing. She busts out laughing and he then goes into some tirade, whatever. And he didn't want to smoke because I would have killed that guy. I would have really knocked that dude's head off. But he wasn't happy, and he tried to save face and turn around. He said something in Spanish, but he wasn't swearing anymore because I didn't hear any more swear words. And the wife's laughing so hard as she pushes him and is like, "Just go the fuck back in the house." Like, you could tell she is just like, "Get out of here. This is not going to end well for you." And he went back inside. He was very not happy. He was very, very not happy. But it was funny. I laughed all the way to the park. I really, to be honest with you, this is weird. I don't want to fight any. I'm too old to be fighting people, even though I will do it. I really wanted him to be aggressive so I could see what Ice would do. Like, I'll handle myself if I got to handle myself, but I wanted to see what Ice would do to that guy if he came at me. So I just stopped, and I'm like, "I got Ice here. Let's see what he does." And then the wife pushed him away before. But Ice is a a young strapping buck that likes to throw down. So I was very interested in seeing that, but I didn't get to see it. So perhaps another day we'll see what Ice. Maybe Ice won't do anything, and then I'll be like, thanks, dog. Now I got to fight with one hand while I hold on to my leash. Oh, well, I wasn't too concerned about it. Let's get into some workout news now that we know that I'm a good cursor in Spanish. Here is one. 2,000 people were studied, and they were looking at strength gains. That's what they want to know, strength gains. And this is interesting. You think, how much do I have to lift in the week to get gains? And that's what the goal of this study was, and they studied 2,000 people to get to it. What do you think? How many sets per muscle group do you got to do to get any gains for the week? 10, 15? What is it? The answer, according to this study, is 4 sets per week. And they say, and you can get small but detectable strength gains. They say the ideal range is 5 to 10 sets per week per muscle group. If you're trying to build and you want to get some muscle going, that's ideal. But if you do 4 sets per week per muscle group, you will get small gains. And that's one workout. That's what we find. That's where we want to break it down. The bottom line is you do one workout a week, you can get some small gains. You're not going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. You're not going to be setting the world on fire. But you're not going backwards. You're going forwards at that time. So that is really, really good news. They found total volume is more important than how often you lift. And they say for strength gains, there is a plateau after 4 sets per group. So the optimal range is 4 sets per muscle group per week. And anything more than that actually starts to become just like you plateau. So you might get more. If you do 5, then you get a little more. 6, get a little more. But at some point, 10 isn't going to get you much more than 4, and you're at a plateau, and then you risk overtraining, and that's where injury comes in. And we all know injury is what killed this big fat white elephant, because that was the end of me and my working out. I've not come back from the injury. Swore I would, thought I would, planned on it, and it just didn't happen. Another story in here that I found to be pretty entertaining was they found that people who have type 2 diabetes who go to work out, I do have the type 2 diabetes myself. If you were go work out with type 2 diabetes and you have a smartwatch, it helps you stay with your routine a little more. Now, why is that? I think it's just something that it's an aid. Just like you will never hear me talk smack about how anyone who has a personal trainer. It's the greatest thing you could do. If I could afford it, I would have a personal trainer now, and I'd be working out with a personal trainer, because personal trainers hold you accountable, and they'll push you and they'll help you, and you've got someone to help you, and you could push yourself and not be afraid because there's someone there to spot you, someone there to help you. Working out by yourself or even with one of your buddies isn't the same. It's good to always have a workout buddy, but ideal, you want to have a trainer. The greatest gains, the greatest shape I've ever been in my life has been the many times I have hired a personal trainer. It is absolutely amazing. And another thing that helps you, that at least keep you motivated to keep you on path, is playing dress up. That sounds dumb, but if you go to the gym and you buy some new workout gloves or some new wrist straps or a new weightlifting belt or whatever, it's that stuff that you want to use it. It will motivate you. So doing those things, even buying new workout clothes, especially if you're in a body transformation area, like you're losing weight or you're gaining muscle or you're really starting to be pumped on your physique, buying new clothes that show that off or that are smaller in size or bigger in size, whatever you're going for, that'll help you. That'll motivate you. And the one thing you need is motivation to stay with the game, to stay on target, like Luke effing Skywalker. Stay on target. Stay on target. That's what you want to do. Man, I dated myself with that old-ass nerdy Star Wars reference. But that's what you want to do. You want to stay on target, and you want to do whatever it takes. So a smartwatch, if that helps you, because you can see your, oh, wow, I did this many steps this week, or I did that. Smart watches are usually paired with an app, and the app keeps track of things. But good stuff, no, it just sees your progress. You can look at it. It's written down. You're like, oh, there it is. This is what I did this week. And that'll help you. And you need to stick to a workout program. Type 2 diabetes, one of the best things you can do besides medication is diet and exercise. Stick to your diet, stick to your exercise, and just go, gadget, go. Man, I'm throwing out the old school references today because I'm an old fool. That's so cool. And you will be able to stick to it. Clothes, stick to it. New shoe. Remember when you were a kid and you'd get new shoes and you'd like, oh man, I'm so fast in these shoes. I'm fast as F, boy. Fast as F, boy. I'm going to run around like a crazy man because these new shoes could make me fast. Same thing applies as an adult, but you just spend way more money and you could buy a lot more shoes because your parents wouldn't give you but one pair. And we got one pair of effing shoes. And when they wore out, you got another pair. And the problem is my brother was one of those kids that just literally like ate clothes for lunch. My brother would go out and come back and the knees and his pants would be torn out and his shoes would be destroyed and there'd be holes in them. And he'd get new shit all the time. And I didn't get it because I was like, I took care of my shit. My brother was that little rough douche nozzle that went out and like, what happened to you? You look like you've got in a fight with a pit bull or something. And his clothes were always destroyed. My parents were always buying him new shoes because he was always wearing everything out fast. Not me. I was slick. You know why? I'm sexy as all hell. Want to keep my shit pimping is what I needed to do. So I didn't have that problem. let's get into some food tip. I'm doing some sugar-free chocolates. I'm really hurting trying to stay off of any junk. Not that sugar-free chocolate is healthy. It is still junk, but it doesn't have sugar. Haven't had any baked goods at all. I've had some sugar-free candy. I got a thing from the dollar store. What's it called? Stover's cheap-ass Russell Stover chocolate. But it's sugar-free. It's $1.25, and there's four pieces of candy in there for $1.25, which, but for sugar-free is great because when you buy sugar-free candy at Ralph's or Vaughn's or wherever in the candy section, it's like $8. And God help you if your ass is going to Sprouts. If you go to Sprouts, you may have to leave a testicle at the counter to get out of there. Oh, that'll be $700 and your left testicle, please. Thank you. And then you leave with your groceries. It's like Whole Foods for the ghetto or something. And by the way, Whole Foods is racist. Because there's not a Whole Foods, I looked it up, there's not a Whole Foods anywhere near here. I got to go to Long Beach for the closest Whole Foods. Yet, I can't go a block on the west side without tripping over a Whole Foods. They are everywhere. I'm not kidding. There was four, I think, in Santa Monica, four Whole Foods, four or five. They were all over the place, and there isn't one at all in this entire area to go to Long Beach to get one. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, or into the South Bay, which is closer to the west side than it is to here. So those people are racist. They are racist. Sprouts, right here in Downey, love that place. Highly recommend it if you're looking for any sort of diet or healthier snacks. I feel like such a dick when I say healthy snacks because, you know, you want a healthy snack? Eat a fucking carrot. That's your healthy snack. You want a healthy snack? Have a piece of celery. That's your healthy snack. That's what true healthy snacks are. But you want some processed shit food that's not as shitty as the other shit food? Go into Sprouts and they'll have it. And, you know, Whole Foods has it too. So does Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's is the weird mixed bag. Trader Joe's has some really healthy, good snacks and really unhealthy crap. It's weird. Trader Joe's is the weirdest store ever, yet one of my favorites. Best place to buy nuts. These nuts! And also really good frozen food. And then you can get, you know, organic this or organic that, and you can get way healthier options there. But if you want healthy, best to go read the labels. Check your labels. What's your diet restriction? Is it sodium? Is it carbs? Is it gluten-free? Man, Sprouts got a ton of, like, in fact, I bought a stuff. I have the bag right here. Let's just get into it. I went to Sprouts, and my daughter is gluten-free. I have not seen her because she is MIA, and I got her some gluten-free almond flour crackers. I got her gluten-free Rice Krispie treats. How effing cool is that? And then she lives in a dorm room, so I buy her the instant gluten-free mac and cheese cups, which they have there, which are the Annie's or the Ann's or whatever those are. And then I bought myself a sugar-free chocolate. And then I got myself, my daughter, some gluten-free cookies, bag of cookies, like chocolate chip cookies. And those are gluten-free, too. And they also have a thing that the kid really likes. And they have at Sprouts a lot of, like, gluten-free pre-made frozen pancakes, which are clutch for breakfast. Breakfast, I think, is the meal that most of us have the least amount of time for. In fact, most people seem to, like, bring something to work. Or if you're me, you stop and buy something on your way to work. And that used to be donuts or Mexican sweet bread or something delicious. And I'm really staying away from that until we get back to Easter and I get out of Lent. But that's what I traditionally would do. And I think that's where we all also F up. That's where we get the worst stuff. Or you go to McDonald's, and we all know that McDonald's food has like 97 ingredients in it. It's delicious. Don't get me wrong. McDonald's breakfast is sweet, but it's really bad for you. And it's packed with sodium and calories and fat and everything else. You could do much healthier to make yourself something at home. And so I'm pro buying a frozen breakfast that literally, if you need to bring it to work, pop it in the microwave in the break room and then eat it at your desk as you start your day. Or if you have time, heat it and then eat it. I will do stuff like that and then eat it in the car. But I buy a lot of the gluten-free pancakes for my daughter that are pre-made that she is able to throw in the microwave for 30 seconds and eat on her way out the door as she's walking to class. Cool things like that. The little things. Cut every corner that you can. It will help you if you cut every corner that you can. It's like working out. If you can get in 4 sets per muscle group in a week, you've made gains that week. Same thing. If you've cut 500 calories, you've cut 500 calories. If you've cut your sodium in half, you've cut your sodium in half. If you've cut your carbs, you've cut your carbs. Every little bit counts. That's why it's very important to not be too hard on yourself and to look for those options. Why I say it's best to have a healthy option grocery store. I go into Stater Brothers, although I love the prices over here, I don't get a lot of super healthy options. Same thing when I go to Walmart over here. I love the prices, but there's some things that I can get in there, but a lot of it, not what I want. And then I go to Sprouts and it's like, oh, I could drop $700 and a testicle in here because this crap is so expensive. Same at Whole Foods. But it's cutting corners. It's helping me. It's bitching. It's a trade-off. Losing all of the money, spare money you have for the week, or being a little healthier. Maybe losing a little weight. Maybe hitting your goal. Maybe keeping your heart healthy. Whatever it is, there is a lot to be gained by cutting corners where you can. So that's what I am urging you to do. I'm still looking at this jar of chocolate-covered nuts I have here that I'm going to eat on Easter. Probably the whole effing jar and just love myself in fatness on that day. But I'm being good. I'm being very good. Haven't broken, not going to break. So shout out to me. Hope you're doing well on your journey as well. And I'm going to get up out of here because it's a bonus pod and I got no F's to give on a Friday. So you guys take care of yourselves. And I will talk to you again very soon with another episode of Fat to Fit or Else. Up in ya.